Well, welcome to Mind Your Manners. Today we're talking about ArnQuest for Q3 of 2024. With me today, I've got Richard Luschuk, Brent Bailey, and Mark Reniff. Brent, why don't you start us off with the overall theme for this quarter's issue, and what was the overall plan? Why the articles that were picked?
Sure. So this quarter, HarnQuest consists of three articles, two orders, a clerical order of the god Ogric, and we can talk more about that in a minute. But there's a clerical order, which is the Order of the Fuming Gate, their associated fighting order, which is the Order of the Copper Hook, and High-End Keep, which is held by the Order of the Copper Hook, and it's a keep in the southern part of the Kingdom of Wrethem. And so these three all kind of they all tie together very nicely. And over the years, we've been releasing articles about all the different religious orders, clerical and fighting orders, and their held keeps and castles for all the different religions that have them. And the Agricans, there's seven of them, and this is the fourth set that we've released. So the set of clerical and fighting order. But the last one was in 2018. So it's been a while since we published any Agricans. So it was time again to circle back around and do another group of those. And so that's why we did it.
Perfect. And when we are looking at, I'm just pulling it up here, we are pronouncing it as high-end keep, correct?
So I say it.
Okay,
Same.
cool. Yeah, and we're over on the border with, Kanday. There's a lot of opportunity here for some conflict. And Mark, you had the pleasure of writing a lot of these articles, if not all of them. Is there
I think of the 32 pages in the HarnQuest, I was responsible for 30 of them.
Fantastic. That's a lot of articles or a lot of
Yeah.
pages. Well, why don't we start off with High and Keep? Fill us in a little bit on kind of the situation here. What are we looking at? It's kind of this staging ground for all sorts of conflict. But there's also a lot of attention paid in this article to kind of your common peasants that are in the middle of this.
Right. So one of the reasons that we wanted to include this, particular set of articles in this HarnQuest is that High and Keep and the border conflict between the Kingdom of Wrethem and the Kingdom of Kanday is one of the sort of central big ticket conflicts that is available for Harn. The original Hyan article came out in the late 80s, I want to say. And it
Yeah.
was, I think, 7 pages of just, of the keep and the town. But it had very little, like less than a page on a description of the Copper Hook itself. The Fuming Gate has never been tackled in any depth before. And so we wanted to really flesh out what was going on in this particular corner of Harn because so many other things reference it, right? So, the Menakaud article from the Kingdom of Kanday that was, in the recent Kanday hardback talks about this particular conflict. So all of the published material to date was either out of print or was from the perspective of the Lorannian half of the conflict. So that was sort of the impetus behind getting this particular settlement, these particular religious orders finished off.
Yeah, and what does it take to write from the perspective of the Agricans? They're kind of, it feels like it might be a little tough to get in their heads.
Yeah, so that's one of the things I always come back to with Harn religions, right? So if you're just taking, the top sort of 10,000 foot Harndex view, Agric is the god of fire, war, and pain. Those are sort of the, spheres over which he has dominion. And it's very easy to look at that and say, oh, this is an evil god, and all of his followers are evil, and they're going to be mustache twirling baddies, and they'll make great mindless opposition for your party. But one of the things I love about Harn is that the religions are, all of the faiths are more complicated than that. There's always a reason why people believe what they believe, and everyone is the hero of their own story, right? So even though we might consider this particular this worship of this particular deity as, quote unquote evil, there's a reason why they believe what they believe, and from those beliefs, their actions are going to flow logically. There's going to be an internal consistency there that's going to be compelling to someone, right? There has to be some reason that justifies what they're doing. Because, I mean, make no mistake, they're bad dudes, right? But in their own minds, they are, following a righteous path. So when you talk about writing from that perspective, part of it is getting into that mindset of, hey, if I was in this situation and I believed this, what would the natural consequences of that be? And as a writer, that's one of the things that I really, really enjoy in terms of working, especially with the Harnic religions, is bringing that perspective to elevate those factions within the setting as more than just mustache twirling baddies that you're going to, cut down with your sword in endless numbers, to be like, hey, maybe I want to play one of these guys. Maybe I want my PC to be a member of the Order of the Copper Hook, or maybe I want him to be a member of the Order of the Fuming Gate. And to make them well-rounded and three-dimensional, to give both players and GMs that opportunity. Because, I mean, speaking as a GM myself, there is nothing better than giving your players an antagonist, and over the course of the game, having them come to realize that maybe they sympathize with the antagonist more than they think. So that's sort of what we were shooting for this particular Harn quest.
Yeah, that is definitely an achievement for any GM to pull that off well. That sounds like it was a fun assignment, for sure. Now, when we take a look at the high-end article, and we have 20 pages on this. I'm going to share the screen here just so folks can see a little bit of the town map, because it's not just the keep that they're getting. It is going to be kind of a fully realized town going with it. So we've got a lot of places of interest. When you were working on this, you mentioned that 7 pages had been written back in the 80s on this
Right.
originally.
Right.
What did you see as the largest opportunity, or the biggest area that needed to be improved, that you were able to bring into reality here?
Yeah, so there were a few things in the old article. Like, for instance, number 21 on your on the local map there is the toll house. So the king of Rethem, Chafin the Third, is he's sort of hanging on to a fractious kingdom that is has a lot of internal issues, and the Order of the Copper Hook is one of those internal issues. Because just to give a little background, the defining sort of event in their history is Izar's War. So a previous Grand Master basically kicked off a war with Kandae that ended up running for 15 years, claimed two monarchs from each side, and basically led to all kinds of devastation. Ultimately, Kande won that war, and the Rathimi king was forced to sue for peace and ended up giving up a bunch of Copperhook lands to broker that peace. The Copperhook has never recognized that treaty, and so they've been engaged in cross-border raids and antagonism with the Lauranians for the last, 20 plus years. So, right. So, bringing this back to what I was talking about things that we could add, there was a mention of the Royal Toll House in the original article. But there were some references in there that were strangely worded, or on further reflection, didn't necessarily hang together with stuff that has been fleshed out since then. So we kind of had to explain who was there, why they were there, what they were doing, and really how they operated, because these guys are essentially in enemy territory. They're trying to collect the king's taxes from an organization, or from trade that's happening within the settlement of an organization that has never sworn fealty to the king. They pay their taxes up, but they have never formally sworn fealty. That was another thing that sort of got sprung on us, because in the that was a single sentence that was added in the rewrite of the Wrethem Kingdom module in, I don't know, 2010. Brent, help me out. When did that happen?
About then.
Yeah, it was right before I joined the team. But there was a single sentence that was added that said, "Hey, these guys have never sworn fealty." It wasn't in the original Wrethem Kingdom module,
It
and
was an
so an
interpretation that
interpretation. Yeah.
could have gone
Yes.
either way, but went one way definitely, and that
Yeah,
kind of
yeah.
changed
So
the thing.
the writers who worked on the Wrethem Kingdom module, they wanted to resolve what was essentially an ambiguity. But in resolving that ambiguity, that gave us something new to either work with or work around. And so we took it and ran with it, and sort of amplified it in this article to say, yeah, these guys have never sworn fealty. And for any feudal kingdom, right, like that would be unacceptable,
Oh,
especially
yeah.
since they've been, Chafin III has been king for years now. To have a major tenant in chief not swear fealty, that's like not cool. The Earl of Tormow hasn't sworn fealty either, and there's fixing to be a civil war over it. So the question was like, how do we work this in? How do we make this work? And the justification we came up with is the king is actually okay with the Order of the Copper Hook not swearing fealty, because if they start crap with the Lauranians or the Candaeans across the border, he can be like, "Hey, I don't control them. They've never sworn fealty to me." So, the fact that they pay their taxes is enough to keep him from, basically dispossessing them, but it kind of gives him a political out. So
Yeah, a little credible deniability there.
credible deniability, exactly. So that kind of thing is fun, because we can take those things that, at first blush don't make sense, but then work them into the deeper narrative and say, like, why is this the way it is? And that was what we came up with for that. So now we have this toll house, and we have more sort of explanation for what's going on there, and who these guys are, and who they work for, and how they have to operate. So the original settlement article in the first Hyan publication was just a single page. And we expanded that to 2 pages, and then added a ton more of the history, background, current events, etc. So there
Yeah,
was definitely room for a lot of added material.
and there is a lot of added material, like the temple here. You've got things in here related to the Leo Kaver, a good amount of interior maps. There is a ton for GMs and players in this article, or just anyone that's interested in reading more about Harn. I had a lot of fun reading it. The art, Richard, is fantastic. I mean, it just pops.
I was really impressed when I saw the first cut of that he had worked in the actual like fuming gate symbolism with the portcullis and the chains into the architecture of the building. I was really impressed with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of detail in here. You're gonna have to start selling prints.
Oh. Well, that was a fun article, and there was a lot. I've always been a fan of medieval religious symbolism of any. I always like to sneak it in. I try to put as much of it into the Harn art as I can, and this was ripe for just piling it in. And I built the again, I for the settlements, I usually build a 3D model just to make sure I can get a viewpoint I like, that I can get an accurate perspective of the scene. And I generally lean towards views that players are going to see. And so, like, what it's going to be like if you're walking into town, what you're going to see as you walk in. And so, I was able to really pile in some of my own storytelling into some of these based on the stuff I read in the article. So it was a lot of fun.
Okay, I was going to say one interesting thing about that temple, and I think that Richard really captured on that, is that the temple was built as a pilgrimage destination. That was the clerics of the Fuming Gate really intended for the temple here to be drawing pilgrims from across their ex it was kind of in their heyday when they were at the height of their power. They were thinking that they were going to be like the preeminent Agrican order, on Harn. So they were building this as a tourist attraction, essentially, as a pilgrim destination. And so that's why it's so elaborate. That's what all the carvings, all this, the coloring, everything was designed to appeal to, so people will tell stories about it. They'll go back home, they'll tell people. People will come here, make donations, all this kind of thing. And if you look at this compared to other, certain other, some of the other buildings, other te even other Agrican temples, there is a lot more of that visual extravagance. There may be other temples that are, bigger or, but they're just architecture. Where this isn't just architecture. This is art. This they really, fancied this place up. And I thought Richard did an amazingly good job on that by, just you can tell in those lower panels down at eye level, you can just tell that those have got to be like super detailed. And then the bigger ones up top where there's lesser detail, but you can see it from a lot farther. So it was really good that how he just layered in all that symbolism and all that. Because if you were a pilgrim and you saw this place, this is what you would be talking about for a long time, is just how cool this building was and how awe-inspiring, Ogric's, temple in Hyen was.
Yeah. And one thing that Richard always brings to life in his paintings is some sort of still life. Like if you remove the subject in most of them, you're going to see things going on in the background.
Thanks.
You've got all these folks gawking over here. You got this guy taking a little break. And the same is true with the lead painting here too. You take this guy out and it's a depiction of life.
Yeah, I try to populate them with as many Harn folk as I possibly can, and I often, it's funny, I finished this and sent it, and I was like, wait a minute, I forgot smoke, so I had to. So I had to do look in the model and draw lines where all the chimneys were and make sure there was just, because if any place is going to have smoke, it's going to be this place.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and then I have to kind of figure out where it's going to be the smokiest, and so I really trying to make sure I get it. And then, you know, the guy in this one is a nod to the old Hotz illustration from the one in the 80s, where this guy was on the cover of the Harnlore that had High End Keep in it. And I always liked this illustration a lot, so I made sure to make him a repost in a little bit, but I stuck him in as a welcome to High End. This is a guy who's probably going to ask you what your business is when you show up. So, and I think it's kind of funny too, because the Hotz one was done in the early 80s. So as I was drawing it, I was like, this guy kind of has a late 70s, early 80s haircut for an Agrican. So I thought that it was kind of amusing, but.
Hey, everything that's old is new again.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we take a stroll over to the Copper Hook? And I'll zoom us in here because we've got some even more striking art to start this one off with. So we've got our fighting order. This is, you know, maybe it's actually worth taking just a second to talk about fighting orders and clerical orders and Harn, because it's something that we don't see in other settings. So some folks may not be familiar with that. But generally, is it fair to say that there's always a pairing between the two across most of the religions?
Well,
kind of a sponsorship.
A fighting order needs a clerical sponsor. That's how in the different Harnic churches, that's kind of a constant, is that not every clerical order, not all religions and not all clerical orders have a sponsored fighting order, but every fighting order has to have a clerical sponsor. Otherwise, you're just like a mercenary force. You know, that's kind of one of the things that separates a fighting order from, you know, a band of ruffians or mercenaries, is that they have some sanction by a church. And that's what, you know, and of course, when you look at these Agrican ones, that's the only thing that's separating them from, you know, a band of ruffians, is that they do have that church, you know, imprimatur. So, so that's the case. So all of the ones that the seven clerical orders of Ogric that are active on Harn, each of them has a sponsored fighting order, as do the Loranian ones. There's two of each, but some of the religions, those are the only two religions that actually have fighting orders. So all the other Harnic deities have clerical orders, but do not have fighting orders.
Or at least they don't have fighting orders that hold any lands.
Yeah.
So, Mark, you were lead on this one again.
Yep.
Take us through, you know, how we were making the Copper Hook distinctive from some of the other fighting orders.
Yeah, so one of the challenges with the Copper Hook is that, again, you know, in previous sources, we had some tidbits that were out there that were, you know, canon facts, right? So, you know, there was a sort of throwaway line in the previous version that said that, you know, which again was a single page, that, you know, the Copper Hook were the finest heavy cavalry in Harn, which, okay. That's cool, but why? And so, in looking at their sort of situation, the Copper Hook is kind of in a difficult position, right? Their lands form almost a salient into Candae. So you know, they've got the Candian castle of Selvos to the west, Dunir to the southwest, and Menakad to the southeast. And so, you know, all of those lands sort of around them are, you know, presumed to be hostile. The Loranians hold a lot of land within the kingdom of Candae. They're, you know, very well funded internally by their own holdings, and they enjoy support by the king of Candae, and the king of Rethem is known to not support the Copper Hook. So, you know, these guys are essentially outnumbered, outfunded, and surrounded. And so part of the question was, why haven't these guys been just wiped off the map in the last 20 years? And so we had to kick around some ideas for what did these guys have to be like to survive in that kind of environment? And the thing that we settled on was that, for them, it's all about discipline, which, when you talk about a quote unquote evil deity, where, they're into pillage and destruction, you think, oh, well, this is pretty much chaos in the making, and these guys are just going to be, running around causing trouble. But, realistically speaking, that wouldn't have served them for this long. So, we felt that the way to really distinguish the Copper Hook was to turn them into something that was much more focused, much more directed, much more disciplined, as a way to, to borrow an anachronism, to punch above their weight.
Yeah, discipline is a recurring theme in this article.
You mentioned that, right? So discipline, is a common theme here. I don't want to sort of over or undersell, right? These guys are still aggregants, right? They still are going to do bad things, but they're going to do bad things in a very planned, very methodical manner. It's not the heat of anger. It's almost that sort of cold, calculated brutality.
Yeah, I think, you go back to something like Game of Thrones, the successors to the Starks, who were kind of pretty evil there. They kind of fit that bill. I'm gonna pull Richard into the discussion here. Richard, we've got a lot of striking art in this piece in
Oh, thanks.
particular.
This one here is, I think, my favorite in the whole Harn quest.
Oh, thanks.
It's a
The silhouette, so I just thought, if anybody plays in Harn, they know that if you use the weather chart, it's a good chance you're going to get some rain. And so I thought it'd be fun to show them. Well, actually, the prompt that Mark gave me was, showing kind of the miserable drudgery of being a soldier sometimes that happens. So I thought, I just have them sort of marching along either a creek or just, so much water because it's been raining for days on their march. And so also, it's kind of amusing to have water drenching a religion of fire as they're out marching through the countryside. So, and I like the one on the page before a lot too, where the Agricans and the Lorani are kind of cursing at each other over the valley, right on the border. So as they see each other, I'm sure they hurl insults at each other and
Yeah,
right.
insulting is kind of a thing in here, huh?
It is,
Where
yeah.
was that something that was pre-existing, or is that something that you got to bring into this?
That was something that I added.
Well, I loved it. I'm gonna le just tease that for the folks that are gonna be picking up the article, and they can learn what that is. And was there another piece
Just,
at the
well, because
bottom?
one of the
Yeah.
aspects of Ogric and the fighting orders is that so Agrican fighting orders are known for ritual combat. That's one of the kind of the knowns, one of the hallmarks of the Agrican church is ritual combat. And so these guys have kind of a special twist on that, that we thought was a really, really interesting thing that really plays into the discipline aspect that we're really pushing with them. So, Mark, yeah, you want to explain that a little bit?
Yeah, I won't spoil it, but I will say that, when you're in a situation where every man counts because you are outnumbered and outfunded, you have a bunch of guys who are, aggressive warriors, and they may have differences of opinion. You cannot allow them to kill each other in duels. And so you have to come up with some other way for them to settle disputes.
Yeah, and it's a fun. I would love to see that play out at a table.
Yeah.
I think there's some really cool stuff there. And that kind of brings us over to the clerical order. Tell us a little bit about this article here. Again, we get some of these nice dark paintings with some bright red in here. We have the Fuming Gate.
Yeah, so the Fuming Gate is kind of interesting because it's essentially an order in decline. Prior to Izar's War, in the sort of heyday of Rethem under Arlun the Barbarian, they were much more influential than they are now. So they've seen their fortunes wane over the decades, and in canon there are a few dozen of these priests and a few dozen more acolytes in training. So part of the challenge of this is, these guys are the sort of spiritual roots of what the Copper Hook would become, even though they've diverged. And so there were some aspects of the teaching of the Fuming Gate that needed to be incorporated into the Copper Hook. So we said, all right, well, discipline is clearly something, to which the Fuming Gate also is, views as important. But we needed to, sort of justify like why, again, why these guys are the way they are and what's up with this order. And how it finds itself in the position that it does. And so a lot of the work that went into writing this article is coming up with this worldview that is particular to this order. For the Agricans, there's a bunch of different orders, and they all have different slants on the sort of central tenets of their belief. They all ostensibly follow the same God. But they do have different, different bents on it. And one of the things that I think is really important about this is that it would be easy to, view the different clerical orders as just, variations on spell sheets, right? But they become way more interesting if they're variations on worldview. So, like when we were doing the Order of the Eight Demons, which Brent has reminded me was like 6 years ago, they were born in a schism off of another Agrican order, the Order of Herbert the Mace. And so part of it is like, what is the root of this schism? So when we're talking about the Fuming Gate, we have to come up with a series of beliefs that distinguishes them, that makes them different from the other Agricans, and gives their order uniqueness and meaning, but is still within the context of, Agricanism as a whole.
Yeah, it felt like it really brought it to life. And it's distinctive as well. There's
Yeah,
just like
I'd
there.
just like to add there that one of the things that is that's important about this order is that, yes, it's an order in decline, but it's also an order in the process of remaking itself. And there's definitely some internal conflict and some divisions and some sort of growing pains that are associated with that. So again, this is another case where my hope is that someone might read this article and go, gosh, one of these guys would be a ton of fun to play, because for reasons that will become apparent to anybody who reads the article, there's some fun stuff in here. When I pitched to Brent that I wanted to have at least part of the order be Jim Bro Himbos, it was, yeah.
No, it's I mean every page has so many hooks, so many things for players and GMs. It's really the collection of all three articles is awesome. This quarter is awesome. I really liked it. You know, if you had asked me, would I run something with a party full of Agrikens before I read this, I probably would have said, I don't know. But I think I could easily make the case after reading through these. There's just a lot of fun stuff. And you know, we didn't really get into, you know, many of the hooks that are in the high-end article, but there's a ton of them. There is just so much gold in them there hills. So I think you guys have outdone yourselves once again. Every quarter just builds better and better and better.
It's
So
funny that this came. It's been maybe 6 months ago. I rolled up a character for our new campaign, a Fuming Gate priest who is a cousin to the Earl of Tormal, and he's we set it a few years. I think it's in 718 or seven or earlier before what's going on in Harn currently. And I'm on a journey to find the actual fuming gate that I've had dreams about in another land, and we're on a ship traveling there currently. And so this article was a lot of help for me to figure out how to play this character, because you know you kind of think, how does it, when you roll up a character with a religion like this, you think, well, how do I function in society? And this gave them a much more interesting, I guess, more interesting goals, you know. So you can actually say, well, I'm going to focus on science or discovery, or you know, just that's going to be my focus, my burning focus, right? And so it was really fun for me to do this article because I was kind of in the mindset of playing one. And so you know, the Fuming Gate was a lot of fun for me. So I tried to sneak in the symbolism that I've been thinking about. So like this image here, which I'm showing a priest with a scroll, and he's actually holding a key to the fuming gate, you know. So it's like to get to the gate in the afterworld, you know, it's about discipline and understanding. And so you know, in the medieval stuff, and the medieval manuscript stuff, I like to hide a lot of the symbolism and kind of create stories that hopefully people can use in their game. And me, you know, so little adventure hooks in the images too, as much best I can.
Yeah, there's some good storytelling in each of these. To your point, Richard, I struggle to portray an evil society realistically. It's
It's
one of the
hard.
hardest things to do. And this is one of my favorite things about Arn and Wrethem, is that it brings it in a believable way. And I think it sells it really well.
And I think it's worth noting that, you know, again, everybody's the hero of their own story, right? So one of the aspects of Agrikenism that I think is really an interesting sort of jumping off point is the idea of meritocracy, right? You know, the sort of standard Agrikan ideal is, oh, you know, might makes right, which, you know, you could view as very sort of brutalistic and evil. But there's an aspect of it which sort of says that, well, you know, the people who are running the show are running the show because they've proven that they can do so. You know, and if you contrast that with Laurentianism, which is all about, you know, feudalism and the divine right of kings and, you know, born right to rule, the Agrican's response to that is, well, why should you let an accident of birth dictate your station in life? And you know, for those of us from a, you know, modern sensibility, we can get behind that, right? Like you can say, yeah, I shouldn't be a peasant just because my father was a peasant. That sucks. And so, you know, that's a way that you can make agrarianism way more relatable as a worldview, because it has, you know, a little bit of appealing anachronism to it, you know, in a feudal setting.
Excellent. Is there anything we didn't cover that anyone wanted to put into the conversation? Or did we think we hit everything, all the big points that you really wanted to touch on?
So all three of the articles are done and are in the hands of Columbia Games. The Harnquist has not yet been published because I won't give anything away here, but Columbia Games is planning a change in some way to the Harnquest program, the Harnquest product, and that has not yet been announced.
Okay.
I expect that that announcement will be made soon, and this will be published. This is still publishing, with this HarnQuest. It's not going out on the exact schedule that, I normally like, where it didn't come out in the third quarter. But it's because there's something coming that has not yet been announced, and Columbia Games is kind of putting the hopefully the final touches on that announcement, and it will go out hopefully soon.
Is it a problem if this lands before that and this is included?
No, because I haven't said what that is. Just something's coming.
Been very cagey.
Very cagey. Now I'm intrigued. As a Harnquest subscriber, I'm very intrigued. Well, cool. And so then I'm gonna forego the question as to what next quarter looks like, since I'm sure that is predicate upon some announcements.
But I can, let's see, what are the next ones coming? I think the next one right now is shaping up to be another keep in Meldrin
Ooh.
and a another yes another occupation article, another guild.
Excellent.
A Gargan colony, which we, that is so another one of those. And so those three things. So a guild, a keep, and a Gargan colony. That's as specific I'll get at the moment.
Sounds fun. I dig it. Awesome. And does anyone have anything they want to plug? Any personal projects or anything? Okay.
I will say, if people get a chance, you can actually walk around High-End Keep a little bit if you go to YouTube, to my YouTube channel. So I have a nice walk around of the 3D model for High-End. And also, I guess my Patreon, where I draw three characters a month, just random characters. But in anticipation of this, I've got five Agricans. I got a bunch. I drew a bunch of them, and I'm going to post them all to kind of in the next, probably right after the HarnQuest comes out, I'll start posting those. And so if people want to go over there, it's pretty affordable to subscribe if you want to, gather up characters that are interesting for NPCs or even PCs for your game. So it's just Richard Lushek at Patreon. So
Excellent. And Mark, where can folks find more of your writings?
Well, when I'm not writing for Harn, I'm writing for goonhammer.com, mostly in the role-playing and historical wargaming sections. I have a review of some Victrix Normans that I have snuck Agricans into. So if you check that article out, you will see it's in the caption it says oh, forces of the Copper Hook charging into battle. If you know, you know. So buy this Harn quest and then you'll know.
Perfect. Excellent. Well, I'll keep an eye out for that. Well, thank you three for taking time out of your day to sit down. And we'll get this out there as soon as possible. So thanks for
Great.
your hard work.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks,
Thanks.
Gary.